Last week I started a two-part sermon series on evangelism. Pastor Steve and several others went to Colorado for family camp for a week, and obviously he's here today, but we didn't know if he was going to be here, so he asked me to step in, and I have the privilege and the honor to be able to speak to you guys today, and I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity. Last week we talked about how it is God's job to give people salvation, but it's our job to go and seek the lost. We concluded that, number one, seeking the lost means being intentional about sharing the gospel with the lost. Emphasis was put on being intentional. Number two, we need to seek the lost zealously, the way Christ zealously seeks us. And number three, our targets are those who are ignorant of how to have a relationship with the Lord and those that are captive under sin. Suki gave me a call this week, and she said that she took the sermon to heart, and so she's helping out right now with the blood drive. But she wrote out some notes for me, so I wanted to read those. Several of you are laughing because Suki writes a lot of notes, and so here's what she wrote for me. She writes this: "Dear Nigel, your sermon was not lost on me. Be intentional, you said, and so I have been. I ordered a fish sandwich at the drive-thru, Whataburger. As I waited to get to the window, I concentrated on telling the person something, anything, to lead them to Christ." She is taking this very seriously. "Finally, my truck crawled to the window. If you don't have a good church, we'd love to have you at Community Bible Church," I said to the young woman. Then I hit the pedal to leave. I had accomplished my goal. "Wait," she reminded me, "your sandwich." She says, "Your message was more important than food." She is taking this intentional thing very seriously. She was so intent. Her goal in the drive-thru was not, her focus was to get the message out however she could. And she was so focused on that, she forgot to get her sandwich. Luckily, she got it. Then she had another example. "Then a neighbor wanted to introduce me to her boyfriend. How can I bring up the subject? How can I do this?" And then he said, "My name is Paul," and I heard myself saying, "Oh, like in the Bible, like Saul to Paul." So there, your sermon inspired me to tell you the truth. The most intentional I have ever been is when my husband was dead on the bathroom floor. Police and medics came in all over the place. They told me that men drop dead all the time, all night long. Anyway, I felt an urgent need to ask them if they knew Christ. They were polite and wouldn't answer. Your message reminded me to be urgent and intentional. So that is what Suki wrote. And if you can do me a favor, if we can get several of you to write Suki a note and just tell her how awesome she is, I'd really appreciate that because she deserves it. She is very encouraging to me. I usually get a report card after I preach, and it's excessively complimentary. It's not even close to what I did, but she's really, really sweet. And so I'm just glad that for her, the message spoke last week, and it reminded her, and it made her think about what she needed to do and where her intentions needed to be. And the Lord used that, and the Lord is using what we're doing. So last several months, we've been going through a real focused time on evangelism. We had the evangelism seminar. Steve did a sermon series on evangelism techniques in the Bible. And so we're really starting to see things take off now. We're starting to see some momentum with some of you and feeling the call and the need to go out and present the gospel. And so I'm ecstatic about that. And so today, there was lots of different ways I could go. We're talking about evangelism. Last week, we said you need to be intentional, you need to be zealous, you need to go out and seek the lost. So then I had an option today. What would I talk about today? And so today's topic, I think, is very important for where our church is and just the situation we find ourselves and the day and age we live in. So I want to talk about the subject of how and why do we go preach the gospel to people that are different than us. It's difficult, right? People are different than us, and they don't necessarily share the same things and the same ideas and the same background that we do, and that's difficult sometimes. And so I wanted to talk about that. How do we go out when we interact with somebody that's different than us? How do we present the gospel, and what should our mindset be? So so before I get into that, if you're wondering why I'm not saying, hey, why don't we go present the gospel to people that are the same to us, let me just answer that real quick. Number one, to present the gospel to somebody means that they're not a Christian and you are, right? So there's a difference right there, obviously. Number two, simply, it's easier to do it when someone's similar to you, right? It's just easier to go present the gospel to somebody that's similar to you. And I'm assuming you're already doing that. So don't hear me say, don't present the gospel to people that are similar to you. Absolutely, go do that. But it's a little more difficult to do it to someone who's different than you. And so that's why I'm focusing on that. I think it'll be a better chance to equip you guys with something that's more difficult. So that's why I'm doing that. Differences between people have been a common theme in the news lately. If you watch the news lately, you have seen a lot of talk about people's differences, right? The presidential campaign are starting to get ramped up, right? So we have the Democratic-Republican differences, and we've got, 16 now Republican candidates for president? I don't know if it's gone up to 27 yet, but it sounds like it's coming. So we're talking a lot about Republican differences, even amongst themselves. We've also had a lot of race issues lately. The protests in Baltimore and Ferguson, right? And then the things that happened with Sandra Bland a week or two ago. Tragic events. And so there's a lot of talk right now in the news and in our country about race relations and how those are going. And it's not just with the police brutality stuff and questions about that, but also Rachel Dolezal was in the news, right? And Donald Trump even came out with some inflammatory remarks against Hispanic immigrants. And so there's a lot of talk right now about differences, and there's war that's happening in Iraq and Syria and Ukraine, and there's all these things that are happening. Differences cause conflict. They cause problems. They cause difficulty. It's hard for people to get along when we are different from one another. Most people view differences as hurdles, but they can also lead to opportunities. And I want you to view this, someone who's different than you, not as a hurdle to get over, but as an opportunity for you to find. What is the opportunity that you can find with someone who's different than you? Right now, as we speak, God is using differences to bring people to Himself all over the world. I received an email this week, earlier this week, that's going to demonstrate this. A lady named Alina Bettina, who was one of the women that we met when we went to Ukraine, some of us, with Life International. She runs a pregnancy center in Kharkov in Ukraine. Kharkov's a big city, about 1.5 million people. And since the start of the war that's going on between the Russian separatists and Ukrainians, there's been a lot of refugees that have fled eastern Ukraine. And so Kharkov has seen, she says, about 180,000 refugees have come to her city. And so there's just this horde of people that are flooding into her city, and they're seeking refuge and shelter and all these things, and it's very difficult for them. And so she wrote an update, and this is what she said. She was talking about, they were doing a seminar on parenting, and she says this. She starts out with this. Jesus is after the lost. At the first lesson, we asked them, these are the ladies who are attending the seminar, we asked them to write their expectations from the group. I was surprised to find out that many wanted fellowship. I had no idea how lonely they felt being cut from their homes, friends, environment. I started to realize that they felt lost. I know that Jesus is after the lost. I know Jesus is after them. We pray that they would find Jesus here. Does that sound familiar? Right? Like, I got this on Tuesday. Jesus is after the lost. Jesus is seeking the lost was the message last week. That was what we talked about. Jesus, as we speak right now around the globe, is seeking the lost. And He's using His church and people like Alina and people like Suki and people like the rest of us here in our church to go and seek the lost. This is what He does. He goes after and seeks zealously the lost, and He is using the church. So I want you guys to be encouraged today. we're not alone. We are not alone in this. God is working miracles throughout the world. He is going after the lost, and we get to join in the same thing. So as we talk about witnessing to people different than us, let's remember that this is an opportunity, not a hurdle, right? You could view, hey, this is a hurdle, having 180,000 people being a refugee in your city, right? That could be a hurdle. Rather than that, they're viewing this as an opportunity, and they're finding ways to witness to these people. There are opportunities for the gospel waiting for us on the other side of these so-called or seemingly hurdles. So here's how we will approach this difficulty. There will be four parts to what I'm talking about, and then I'm going to answer them kind of in four questions. So the four questions, number one, is this. Why is it so difficult to share the gospel with people who are different than us? Question number two is, why does God want us to share the gospel with people that are different than us? Question number three is, who are the different people in our community? And question number four is, how do we share the gospel with these people? So, once again, here are the four questions. Why is it so difficult? Why does God want us to do it? Who are the other people in our community, and how do we share the gospel with them? Those are the four questions. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through those four questions. So let's start with the first one. Why is this so difficult? Why is it difficult to go and present the gospel to somebody who's different than us? Well, because it gets us out of our comfort zone. Frankly, honestly, we're selfish, right? We like things that are similar to us. There are reasons why we do the things that we do and why we like the things that we like. And so when someone's different than us, it causes discomfort, awkwardness, and a host of other things that just make it more difficult for us. I'll give you an example, not of evangelism, but just how differences can bring about issues. So I'm married, and my wife is not like me totally. Right? Right? So she's just a little bit different, and we have differences. So we have a lot of things in common. We're both believers. We both grew up in the church. We both went to DTS. We even got the same degree. We have the exact same Myers-Briggs personality type, right? There's a lot of things that are similar. We have the same values and different things like that, but we have some serious differences that are there. I'll give you an example. So the first, let's call it a discussion that we had as a married couple was over the remote in our living room. It was over the remote. So we were living in a teeny, teeny, teeny apartment, no storage. We had just shoved all our stuff in there. It was a nightmare, chaotic. And she one day came and told me she wasn't liking the arrangement of how I used the remote. And how I used the remote was I would use the remote and leave it on the couch. And so she informed me that she would like it to go in the armoire. We had an armoire and the TV was in there, and she wanted it to go in there. And so she explained, hey, our house is chaotic. I feel like if we can at least keep the couch clean and neat and all that, and so if you could put that into the armoire, I'd appreciate that. And I said, that doesn't make any sense at all. It's a remote. It's a remote, right? The name is remote, meaning it is supposed to be remotely away from the television, so that you can use it, right? That's the purpose. It's the name is remote. So we had a discussion and went back and forth, and we had to compromise and go back and forth. And I won't let you know right now who got their way on this one. But if you want to know, I'll gladly tell you after the service. But that is just one example of many that we could give where it's just difficult when someone's different than you. They think different than you, and so especially when it comes to spiritual things, it's difficult. Things are tough when they're different than you. That's why it's rough. It's just, it makes you have to get out of your selfishness and makes you get out of what's comfortable for you. So that's why it's difficult. That's our that's kind of our first point. Now, second question. Why does God want us to share the gospel with people who are different than us? Why do we even need to talk to these people, right? Like, it's so difficult sometimes. They're different than me, and I feel awkward. Why are we told to go and talk to these people about the gospel? There are three main reasons behind why God wants us to go after and seek after people that are different than us. The first reason is this, that all people, whether they are the same as us or different than us, they are part of God's creation, and God deserves their allegiance, their worship, and their obedience. God created all of them, right? Whether they're the same as you, whether they're different than you, God deserves their worship. And so that's the first reason. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. Is if they're an unbeliever, they are not under God's allegiance. They are on the other side. And God deserves their allegiance. So that's the first reason is God deserves for them to worship Him. That's what He deserves. The second reason is a little more heady. It's a little, it's just a little different. By creating humanity as both united yet diverse, male and female, different yet united and in harmony, the way He made the two, He is showing humanity in the world and creation something about Himself. So God is a triune God, one God, three persons. He is unity in diversity. They have diverse roles. They are diverse people, but at the same time, one united God. They are the triune God. Unity in diversity. So, in having different people and genders and different races and all the different ways that we're different, all of that is meant to show who God is at His core. He is unity in diversity. So, God wants us to be all three elements, unity in diversity with righteousness. And throughout history, humanity has balked at that. They will get one, but they won't get all three. Or they'll get two, but they'll leave off the third one. And I can go through a list of how that happens. I'll give it one example. Tower of Babel, right? The people were united, but their unity, why they were united in building that, was in rebellion to God, right? So that's not good. That's not what God wants. The goal that we will that God created us to be and one day will bring us back to is that one day we will be all diverse from all different countries and nations and languages, and yet we're going to be in harmony together in heaven together. And God, through that, is demonstrating, is showing who we are. So, if we find someone who's different than us, we are to bring them in and to represent what that heaven is going to be like. To be in unity and yet diverse and to be within, to be righteous. So that's our second reason. So first two reasons. Number one, God deserves everyone's allegiance. And so whether they're the same or different than us, God deserves their allegiance. Number two, being united and yet diverse shows us what God is like. Our third reason for sharing with those who are different than us is that we have more similarities with them than we do differences. There are more things that we share in common with people that are different than us than we do have things that are differences. Ultimately, we share the same needs, and only Christ can fulfill our needs. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Our desires all begin and all find fulfillment in Christ. Whether you're the same or different than me. They all start from there and they all get their fulfillment in Christ. So we share that. Although we are different in a myriad of ways, ultimately our human experience is similar to everyone else's. And the temptations and struggles and trials that we go through are always similar to everyone else's. So 1 Corinthians 10:13 makes this point. Says, "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man." Meaning, nothing that you will go through is really that different from what everyone else has gone through before. No one will experience what you experience the way you experience it. Like, that's your own, unique. But you can never say that no one throughout history has ever experienced something that is just completely different and they can't speak at all to what you're going through. All temptation is common to man. You've never gone through something that is completely different than everybody else. And finally, those that are different will still find the same destiny. Heaven will not be one group of people. Heaven will include the whole range of humanity. Revelation 7:9 says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands." We will spend eternity with every type of person that there is. worshiping the Lord. God will be sovereign over all of his creation, including every type of humanity. And that's what we're going to do. So that's a good reason, right, to go and present the gospel to those that are lost and that are different than us. Because we're going to be friends with people like them in heaven. That's who we're going to hang out with. We will be diverse and yet in harmony, the way God is, unity and diversity. Now, let's transition to kind of from the Bible backing, like here's why we do this, here's why we go after people that are different, to a little more of our current situation. Who are the people, here's our third question, who are the people in our community that are different than us? So, we're community Bible church, right? Who in our community is different than us, or you as an individual? So, I want to look at Irving, and I want to look at kind of what's going on, and I'm getting this from... I get precedence from Paul in Acts 17 when he goes to Athens. He scopes out the territory. He scopes out what the people are like. He goes and he's looking around the city and he finds that, hey, we have this hill of idols and there's all these idols everywhere. And he finds one and he notices that it's to an unknown God. And so when he comes to talk to the Athenians, what he starts out with is the experience of what he found with the idol. And he jumps off right from that and goes straight into his sermon. We should be able to look at our community and know who they are and so that we can tailor make our gospel presentations to the people that are like us or not like us. If you want a foretaste of what heaven is going to be like where we have all those nations and all these people and all these languages, you don't have to go to LA. You don't have to go to New York. You just have to drive the streets of Irving. I don't know if you guys have paid attention, but Irving is a pretty diverse place where there's a ton of people from all over the world. So I want to highlight some of those differences. So I could choose a lot of different differences between people, age, gender, socioeconomic. I'm going to focus on ethnicity in Irving because there's more stats and there's numbers, and so that's easier for me. I can give you some more stats that are there for the ethnicity. So, let's walk through this. How diverse is our community? I don't know if you know how diverse our community is, but let me walk through this. It's extremely diverse. The last official census numbers were taken in 2010, but the estimates for Irving's population today are about 228,000 people. So, by the way, the refugees going to Kharkov, 180,000, that's almost like all of Irving getting up and moving somewhere else, which is nuts. Anyways, of those 228,000 people, the Hispanic population is about 40%. The whites, who don't consider themselves Hispanic, that number is just under 30%. Asians are 15%, and black, that's including African Americans and actually people from Africa, is at 12%. When the census was taken, a third of the city was born in a foreign country. Wow, a third. With over half of those people being Hispanic and about 30% being Asian. So, of the countries that have at least 1,000 people that are from another country, let me go through this here. Mexico has about 64,000 people living in Irving. Indians from India and Asia have 17,000 people. Salvadorians have 12,000. Koreans have 3,000. Vietnamese with almost 2,000. Chinese with 1,500. Hondurans with 1,500, and Arabs with 1,000. That's a lot of people from other countries. This doesn't include 26,000 African-American and Africans. They clump them together in the way that they do the stats, so not all of those are from Africa, but there's a good chunk of them that are. 5,000 from various Asian countries, 4,000 from other Hispanic countries, and 1,500 Native American Indians, and 1,000 Puerto Ricans. That's a lot of people from a lot of different countries. We've got the world here. We support a lot of missionaries, and they go all over the world, and that is great, and that is excellent, and we affirm that. We want that absolutely to happen. But we can also go to the nations right here in our backyard. I don't know if you guys have driven down Beltline, but there are so many different ethnic restaurants. We've got American restaurants, Mexican restaurants, Salvadorian restaurants, Indian, Chinese, Nepalese, Japanese, Korean, African, Thai, Argentine, Puerto Rican, and Vietnamese restaurants in like a 2-mile span. We're in the middle of the world. This is international hub, right? It's like being on the It's a Small World ride in Disneyland. Like, we can go to all these different countries. In 1990, a few years after the church was founded, Irving had about 155,000 people. The Cowboys played in Texas Stadium here in town, and Las Colinas was still developing. In 1990, 70% of the population was Caucasian, 15% Hispanic, and 15% kind of everything else. Now, if you combine the Asian and the African-American populations, it would equal how many Caucasians there are, and the Hispanics have about 20,000 people more than the Caucasians do. Irving has changed drastically since this church's inception. In 2012, according to Trulia.com, that's a real estate website, you go there and they have different demographic information about schools and different things. They named the 75038 zip code the most diverse zip code in the nation. Do you guys know that? The zip code that's North Grate is the southern part of the triangle, and then you have 114 and 161, and where do they meet? That's kind of the top tip of 75038. That zip code in 2012 was the most diverse zip code in the nation. Here's the breakdown. 26% Asian, 25% black, 23% Hispanic, 23% white, and 2.5% multiracial. Almost like identical with those four groups. We just have to drive 1.5 miles north of here, and we are in the most diverse zip code in the nation. So, whether you are Caucasian like me, or African-American like Corey, or you're Hispanic like Miguel, or Asian like Nam, you're bound to find somebody around here that's different than you. You just show up somewhere, there's going to be somebody different than you. It's no wonder that when we went down to Victoria Park, we had a group go there and evangelize there. We came across an African-American young guy from New Mexico. They met a Sikh from India. They met a Caucasian couple that was from, they were visiting from Arizona. And then there were tons of families that were Hispanic and they spoke Spanish. All hanging out at the same park. You live in a crazy diverse population. There are tons of people around you that are different than you. And there are tons of people that are lost right around us. And this doesn't just apply to Irving. Like, DFW itself is really, really diverse as well. So even if you live somewhere else, it's still diverse for you. So say you come across somebody and they're different than you. How do you actually seek them? How do you actually present the gospel to them? Let's get into the how we do this, right? There are three principles to bear in mind. The first will be to be filled with love. If you went to the evangelism seminar, we talked about this a lot, being filled with love. And that's the core of what we're doing, because that's the core of who Christ is and what he did for us. He sought us because he loved us. We were lost and Christ sought us. As Christians, this love must compel us to seek them. Our love must be so strong it overpowers the hurdle of differences that we have between us. You have to love the person more than your comfort, more than getting your way, more than avoiding the awkwardness of the situation. You have to love them more than avoiding the uncomfortableness of them being different than you. If your love from Christ is supreme in your heart, you will bridge the differences between you two. So, that's the first one. You got to love. And you're not going to seek them well unless you love them well. Second, after starting with a heart full of love, you must adapt to their context where you can. As servants of Christ, like our Master, we must serve the needs of those we bring the gospel to. Imposing our context upon others is not servanthood, that's mastery. In things that are separate from morality, right, get that, things that are separate from morality, we should seek to bend the way Paul did. So now I'm going to talk about that verse that we read, those verses. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 22, it says this, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. to the Jews, I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. Even though he was not many of these things, he made himself, he changed himself, he took on these things, or at least acted as if he did, so that he could reach out to these people. If there was somebody who was weak, he acted as if he was weak. If someone acted strong, he acted strong. If someone was a Jew, he acted as if he was a Jew. If there was a Gentile, he acted like a Gentile, so that he might win some. So that the differences would not get in the way of the gospel being presented and them hearing it and coming to the Lord. There should never be differences that are just not good or bad. They're just different. Those differences should never get in the way of the gospel. And so if there's a way for you to alter those things for someone that's different than you, we need to be able to do that. The caveat to that is we don't want to sin, right? We're not going to just jump into the exact culture of someone else if that includes being sinful. We don't want to do that, right? We're not going to just start, you know, cursing and belittling women to reach guys in the hood that like to listen to rap. You know, we're not going to do that. You know, we're not going to get drunk so that we can reach the drunkards. That's the line that we don't cross. So if it's a matter of morality, if it's a matter of sin, we don't do that. We don't bend that way. We don't make those changes. But if it's something that doesn't involve sin, it's our job to serve the other person as best we can and to try to adapt to who they are and what they're like. So maybe this means learning Spanish. Maybe it means eating some dishes that seem strange or exotic to you if you come across someone from another country. Maybe it's how you spend your money. Maybe it's changing your Christian vocabulary and using different words to present the gospel. Maybe it's being flexible with your schedule and inviting people into your house. Maybe it's changing the way you dress when you come across certain people. The lists are endless. There's lots of different ways that you can bend to accommodate the needs of someone else. Just don't go so far as you're getting into sin. Think about what it means to you. All right, here's the key of why we do this, right? Think about what it means to you that Jesus became a person and lived life on this earth and became like us so that he could be our high priest and we could have a high priest that can empathize with what we're going through. If Christ can do that because he loves us and wants to serve us, he leaves heaven and comes to live a life as a human. If he can do that as a servant of us, we can do it for them as well. That's the core of this. So, last week our sending out application was get intentional, get zealous, and get out there and seek the lost. This week, your marching orders from God's word are this. Love everyone enough to be like them without adopting their sin. Okay, you want your application, you want to know what you need to go do? Love people enough to be like them without adopting their sin. We talked today about how Christ is seeking the lost all over the world, including with Alina out in Ukraine, and how we should view different people we come in contact with as opportunities rather than hindrances. Dealing with different people is difficult because it causes us to bend our will and for us to serve other people. It's difficult. But God wants us to seek different people, people that are different than us, because God deserves submission and worship and allegiance from those people. Because he wants us to show the world how he is unity and diversity like the triune God. And because we have more in common with them than we do things that are different. Like our origin, our needs, our struggles, and our destiny. We then talked about how we cannot avoid finding different people in this diverse city. And it should be of note that the harvest is ripe for evangelism. They're right next door. There are a lot of people that need the Lord right here in Irving, in our community. We then concluded with the calling to fill our hearts with love for these people as Christ loves them and loves us, to bend ourselves to be like them in order to serve them, all while balancing enough that we do not end up falling into sin ourselves. May God grant us the power as we go out and reap the harvest. Get intentional, get zealous, get out there and get the lost, and love people enough to be like them, but don't adopt their sin. Thank you. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you have put so many different people